We woke up to this headline this morning, North Korea threatening a preemptive nuclear attack against the United States.
It's been the same old saber-rattling crazy talk out of North Korea for the last month or so, just a lot more of it. Declarations that the 60-year-old armistice is over, warnings of imminent nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula, maps showing specific American targets. So the timing of this week's announcement of the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction was exceptionally apt. The winning novel, Adam Johnson's The Orphan Master's Son, is a kind of thriller love story set inside North Korea. And Adam Johnson joins me from Stanford University, where he teaches creative writing. Adam, welcome to Studio 360, and congratulations. Entirely a surprise or not?
It's absolutely a surprise. Someone congratulated me before I'd heard, and I kind of barked at him, and I said, don't say things like that.
So this bizarrely closed-off country, North Korea, with its nightmarish weirdness and this singular psychology of North Koreans, did you ever worry that writing a serious novel about this horrific, tragic place but still doing humor was just an exceptionally high degree of difficulty?
I have many answers to that, probably. You know, when you read the testimonies of defectors, they have a dark sense of humor about their experience. And it's one of the ways that gallows humor that they do with it. And to take that away would have been, I don't know, to dehumanize the place in some way. I just wrote a long article for GQ interviewing Kim Jong-il's personal chef, who was Kim Jong-il's sidekick for 11 years. And Kim Jong-il played pranks. He liked to do fraternity-type humor. He was always cracking jokes. Of course, you had to laugh or you'd be shot.
Yeah. Was there any challenge writing about a real place, fictionally, that seems so fictional?
Well, the difference between fiction and nonfiction is that fiction must be believable. We read nonfiction pieces all the time about gigantic, you know, waves or perfect storms or 9/11, things that you could probably never earn in fiction. And I found that to be very true in writing about North Korea. A lot of the true absurdity of Kim Jong-il's life and the Kim regime I had to leave out, a lot of the true darkness I had to leave out in studying the Kwanli-so, the gulag systems there, the abortions, the executions, the amputations. Even I couldn't handle reading about that after a certain point, and I tried to put it into the book, but it was just, I think it's too dark for a Western reader. We just didn't have a bridge to it.
Well, and I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons you chose as a sort of central narrative driver of this novel, this romantic story, this over-the-top love of the main character for a famous woman. Was that a way of making it seem not so relentlessly, horrifically dark?
Well, I don't know if the love was over the top. I'm a very romantic guy, Kurt, so it seemed very natural to me.
Really? Well, yes. Then you and I are different. But anyway, okay. I mean, there is this love story at the center that rather than being all about politics and totalitarian brutality.
Well, seriously, though, when I was writing the book, the question I kept asking is, what if, you know, I was raising my children there? Normal families like mine are put under pressures that we can't really conceive of. And my real question was, how do you be a parent? How do you have a relationship? How do you have a private life in a world where every one of those things can imperil you? And I felt like family and love and identity had to be at the center of the book in terms of investigation.
Yeah. And as someone who has spent the better part of a decade thinking about the North Korean regime and their psychology, what's your bet about the end game?
Well, I'm no expert on the geopolitics or the nuclear military dimension. I really just tried to find the human dimension. One thing I'll say is that Koreans are a very resilient people. They've had a tough last 100 years. 35 years of subjugation at the hands of the Japanese, World War II, you know, partition by the superpowers, the Korean War, a very difficult war, 60 years of a totalitarian dictatorship. And, you know, say what you will about the Kim regime, these people have not been occupied by a foreign power for 60 years in the North, and they see that as their greatest achievement after a millennium of being a plaything of, you know, Mongolia, of China and Japan. And I don't see anything changing on the horizon.
And as somebody who lives on the West Coast, are you any more worried today than you were a year ago about North Korean incursions?
I think it's quite possible that we'll see, you know, something small scale happen in North Korea. You know, Kim Jong-un is a figure who was raised by a deeply paranoid man, and a man who had many reasons to be paranoid. In fact, some say paranoia is a healthy state of existence in North Korea. One of the things his father was really famous for was loyalty testing people. Give them a chance to escape and see if they did, or make them kill another human being. All of these are documented. I kind of feel like Kim Jong-un is loyalty testing his nation.
Adam Johnson, thank you very much.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, Kurt.
Adam Johnson is a professor of creative writing at Stanford University. He won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction this week for his novel, The Orphan Master's Son.